Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are your hosts for the next 60 minutes on the Living by Design show, and we want to wish everyone a happy July. We are already more than halfway through this year, Tony. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, I mean, in such a short period of time, but that's what and why the term came about, time flies, when you're having fun.
Yes, time does fly when you're having fun, or even if you're not having fun. Time is going to just keep right on going. So it doesn't really matter whether you're having fun or not. It's just going to keep right on rolling. But, you know, we're going to have fun. We're always having fun here on the Living by Design show, and I have all the email notes to prove it. So I want to get right to it. I have a few announcements I want to make before we bring our guest on the line, because we have a great topic for this evening. But the first announcement I want to make is that yours truly, Kathy Holloway Hill, will be featured in the upcoming issue of August 2010 Ebony Magazine. So please make a note of that, and it should be hitting the newsstands around the 13th of this month. And you should be able to buy it at any of your local newsstands, wherever you purchase your magazine. So make sure you get that. And I have been told, because I think subscribers already received their copy, Tony, so I've been told that I am on page 34.
See there. And, you know, I have to say this. For those folks that, you know, been in the business for a while and have met quite a few folks that have been a part of the Jet Publishing empire for so long, because I know a few people that have gone from Indianapolis to Chicago to work in that organization. To accomplish what you accomplished is a big deal. So people should really celebrate the fact that they know someone who has and is a part of that and been a part of Ebony and the Ebony Jet. So that's a big deal. I mean, you think about how many people you know that have written books, that have published articles, that have been public speakers, all those kinds of things, and that have never been featured in that magazine. So that's a big deal.
Well, you know, Tony, I'm glad you said that, because I want all my listeners to know that this journey that I've been on is just so not about me. I really want everyone to realize that this is an example of a purpose-driven life. And because of that, I am starting to I'm kicking off my workshop series, which includes how to design your career and how to design your life. And it's all about it's called Catalyst for Change, Career Design Workshop. And I really, truly am not looking to make money off this at all. I mean, the whole purpose of this entire journey is to help everybody understand how I went about doing it and how they can go about doing it too. Because when we allow someone else to own our identity or design our lives for us, like the media and society and our parents and our significant others and our families and friends or whoever – unless we take control and not allow the fear to hold us back, we're not going to ever live a fulfilled life. So I am kicking off a series of workshops, which is actually my next announcement, that is going to kick off here in Louisville, Kentucky on the 31st of July, and then I'm going to take it on the road from there. Then I'm going to have a workshop in Indianapolis, and that's going to be in early August, and then we're going to do I'm going to do one in Chicago, and that's going to be in late August. So please check that out on my website at chollowayhill.com. Just click on the calendar, and you'll be able to see all the dates for that. And I think I said my website, www.chollowayhill.com. And then the last announcement, that I have is I am an advisory board member for Steward Speakers, and Steward Speakers is a fantastic organization that has been in business for over 25 years. And, Tony, I know you're very familiar with them, too, because actually Tony and I are both working on that project for Steward Speakers. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary coming up in October. And this 25th anniversary event is going to be a magnificent grand gala, and you don't want to miss it. There are going to be mega celebrities there. And the 25th anniversary is actually celebrating a quarter century of success with this organization. So that is going to be in October. I also have information about that on my website as well. So there's a link.
And
the web. Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say, for those folks that may not know, I mean, it's definitely on the website what Steward & Associates and the speaker series is all about. But primarily, a young man here in Indianapolis wanted to bring renowned, nationally known speakers to the Indianapolis urban market to give the community an opportunity to not only interact but hear some of the brilliance of these leaders around the country and around the world. And he started that series specifically for that reason. And since then, as you just mentioned, it's been going on for 25 years. And pretty much anyone that has done anything in every field, from entertainment to medicine to education, politics, you name it, those individuals, the leaders in those categories have come through and done lecture series and spoke to literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people over the 25 years. And so that's what it's all about. And I just wanted to give them just a brief synopsis of, you know, what it was. They can get the full details when they go to your website and check out the link. But I just wanted to let them know as we're talking about it so they could have like a little snapshot of who they were and what it was all about.
Well, thank you for that, Tony, because you're right. It is headquartered there in Indianapolis, which is where you are, and you're very familiar with the organization. And I just became familiar with it, and I am extremely impressed by the professionalism and the way everything is handled. I just absolutely love the founder and CEO, Matt Steward. He's just a dear, dear friend and a great colleague. And I invite you to either go to my website, chollowayhill.com, or you can go directly to stewardspeakers.com, and that's Steward with a D, S-T-E-W-A-R-D, speakers.com. And I'm going to tell you, the upcoming season for the speaker series, this 25th anniversary celebration is in October, and then the season starts after that. And the speakers that they have lined up for this new season, even if you just get a season ticket to see Michelle Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, you heard me right, is going to be part of the upcoming season. And I encourage everyone, the price is absolutely amazing. A season ticket for just her alone should be way more than what the charge is. So I encourage everyone to jump on that now before the tickets run out. So just wanted to make sure I got that out there. So moving on to our theme for this month. Now, as you know, listeners, our theme for the previous month was reinventing your life, which is very, very important. But you know what, Tony? Before you can reinvent your life, you have to reinvent your brain, right?
Reinvent your brain?
Oh,
yes.
You have to reinvent,
yes. Reinvent your
mind. Yes.
Okay.
You have to reinvent your mind. And we have a guest that's on the line, and I'm getting ready to bring her on. Dr. Janice Dorn is a board-certified psychiatrist, an MD, a PhD. She's a heavy hitter. She's heavy duty. And she is uniquely qualified to talk about our brains and how life reinvention is affected by our minds and our brains. She's also a trader, which is a little bit unusual for her to have, you know, such a unique combination of skills. But I am going to bring Dr. Janice Dorn on so that she can talk to us and my listeners about this very, very intriguing topic. Dr. Janice, are you there?
I'm here, Kathy. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening. I'm so glad that you were able to join us because this topic is very, very important.
Well, thank you for asking me, and congratulations, Kathy, for being featured in Ebony. I'm definitely going to get it. I will turn immediately to page 34.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you very much for that. And I tell you, Dr. Janice, it's really funny. I think about 50 people have emailed. Apparently, the subscribers get theirs first in the mail. And when they got theirs in the mail, they immediately emailed me and said, I said, oh, my goodness, if I hear this page 34 one more time. But
You just heard it.
I am so excited. As Tony stated, it's something that you know, just doesn't happen that often in your career. And for me to have had this happen, for God to have granted me this honor in such a short period of doing what I do, it's just proof positive that, you know, when you keep your eye and your mind and your conscious awareness focused on what you want, not what you don't want, it does come to pass.
It absolutely does, and you're a living example of that, and I applaud you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want to start off the conversation about you and your work, because I know that you are board certified as a psychiatrist and an MD and a PhD, and God knows you have every credential under the sun when it comes to working with the mind. Now, how did you come to combine that with trading?
Well, I started out, Kathy, with a PhD in brain anatomy. And from there, I went to become an MD, a psychiatrist, with a certification in adult and addiction psychiatry. And then in the early 90s, I had a life-altering experience. It was a severe illness. And it's a very long story. I've written about it in my book and spoken about it from the stage. But it was, I was pronounced dead. And 5 days later, I woke up. 72 days later, I was told that I would never walk again, never talk again. I would be a respiratory cripple for the rest of my life, and I was addicted to a very powerful painkiller that they had given me in the course of this very long hospitalization. So as a result of this, I went on a new journey. And this journey, by rather circuitous twists and turns, took me to the financial markets, and since 1993, I have been a full-time commodities trader and also a market psychiatrist. So I was able to take the skills that I had from my education and go into a completely different field, yet while keeping these skills of being a psychiatrist. So now, instead of seeing people one-on-one, I can see 500 or 600 people at one time. So it's been a remarkable journey.
Wow. Well, I absolutely love it. And obviously, you are very committed to your work, and I definitely applaud you there. Now, I want to ask you a question, Dr. Janice. This question has been pressing, and I absolutely was just so anxious to get you on here to ask you this. I am experiencing tons of clients who are, they're sinking into a depression because of work or the economy or changes at work or changes, something going on with their careers and their jobs, which is one reason I'm embarking upon this project to do these career workshops and taking it on the road. And I want you to speak to the mind part of it, you know, depression and how depression can come about from job loss and those types of things and what we can do about it. Not just job loss, but job change. And, you know, the people who are left, they have, you know, double the amount of responsibilities, and they're working you know, 80 hours a week. And you know, these types of things are causing them to be depressed. So what can they do about that?
Well, first of all, Kathy, this is a universal challenge right now because of the economic times that we live in. We are in a depression economically and in society. This is not just a recession. We are in a depression. Now, that is a word that a lot of people don't want to say because it sounds better to say it's a recession when actually it's a depression. And people are losing their jobs. They're frightened. They're losing their houses. They don't know where to turn. And what is happening is that the media, unfortunately, is feeding into this whole cycle. Because in the media, there's a saying, Kathy, that if it bleeds, it leads. So the people are watching television and they're listening to the radio and they're being bombarded continually with negative images and with negative news. This then compounds what's already going on in their lives, and that is that they've lost their job, they're running out of money, they don't know, you know, I ran into a woman in the grocery store the other day who told me that she had 76 cents left after her paycheck. That's all she had left. She could buy food, and she had 76 cents left. So what happens to the brain in this particular situation is a chemical reaction. Depression is a change in the brain chemistry, which is brought about by an impacting negative forces from the environment.
Okay. Other than your traditional medications and antidepressants, is there anything that people can do to help that chemical reaction change? And I'm assuming, you know, a lot of the chemicals that are in our brains, like the dopamine and the serotonin, they are depleted or
yes.
Go away.
Yes, that's right. The serotonin is depleted. The norepinephrine is depleted, which is the noradrenaline. The dopamine is depleted. Now, I'm an allopathic medical doctor, meaning I'm trained as an MD. So you would think that I would say that, you know, the whole nation should be on antidepressants. I don't believe that at all. As a matter of fact, I think that many of these medications are actually toxic to the body. So my approach to depression is that people have got to get right with what is happening and get out of denial, face the reality and every feeling that they have to go with that feeling no matter what it is. In other words, don't try to push it away. Don't try to pretend it isn't there. Be in the moment with whatever is happening. That is the first step to freedom, is you take personal responsibility for what is happening to you. And instead of saying, I am powerless to do anything about this, because it's they're doing this to me, you say, wait a minute, I have the power. I can control what is happening to me, what is happening to my body, and I can take steps to make my life better.
I like that. I really like that. And I especially like, and I typically don't like to give my personal views too much on this show. Tony knows that. And Tony also knows a lot about me as the host, that I don't like to take a lot of medications. So I'm really happy that you made the point about it's not necessary. I mean, you can try to do this on your own, that if you just own up to what's going on, face it, because you can't fix what you don't face, and, you know, face it and accept that you're going through some chemical reactions in your brain that are causing you to feel this way. And what steps, because I've always been told that the only way to replenish your serotonin and dopamine and those types of chemicals in your brain is to do it artificially. So what are some natural ways or some behavioral ways that people can actually increase those chemicals, those feel-good chemicals that they need to make their brain function right?
Right. And very good question, Kathy. Thank you. There are several things that people can do naturally, and I always recommend and advise that natural treatments be employed before going any further. The first thing is diet. The diet of the average American is just horrible. It's filled with comfort food, junk food, processed food. All of these types of foods will only depress the brain chemistry more. So the instruction is to eat healthily. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean to eat green and dark-colored vegetables, cook as minimally as possible, eliminate as much junk food and processed food from the diet as you can. And if you're not a pure vegan, which I'm a vegan, I've been an organic vegan for over 25 years, but you can eat certain fish like fresh salmon, wild salmon, that will replenish the hormones in your brain and also give you the omega-3 fatty acids that the brain needs to feel better. So if you can't eat fish, you can take a supplement of the omega-3 fatty acids, and it has been shown that there is a direct relationship between increasing the level of the omega-3 fatty acids in your body and the relief of depression. So the first step is diet. The other problem, of course, that we're dealing with when we're dealing with the American population is obesity and diabetes. And this is an epidemic, which I call diabesity, and it is directly related to the fact that people do not eat properly. The second thing to do is exercise. Now, that's not a dirty word, although many people think it is. And you don't have to go out and dance with the stars, and you don't have to go on so you think you can dance or be an acrobat or a contortionist. Walking a mile or two a day, at fast walking or slow walking, and if you do that, every day, say you walk a mile every day, gradually the natural feel-good chemicals in your brain, which are called endorphins, will begin to increase, and you'll start to feel better. The third thing is to reduce stress as much as possible. Stress is the greatest killer. Stress kills more people than anything else in the world. And the reason for that is because, Kathy, if you took a dartboard and you put every disease known to man on that dartboard and you threw a dart and you hit a disease, you will find that that disease, whether it's heart disease, cancer, diabetes, inflammation, of any kind. That disease is either caused by stress, is made worse by stress, or if you get it, you're going to get stressed. So it behooves your listeners to do everything possible to ameliorate, to minimize the level of stress that you're experiencing every day.
Now, doctor, I want to ask this, because the one thing that people will say, because this society, one, comes up with a lot of excuses of why they have to deal with stress. But one simple thing I would like to know, because a lot of folks don't really realize what stress is to them. A lot of folks say, oh, I'm okay, I'll be all right, and they don't realize stress is actually affecting them, or they try to push whatever that feeling or that emotion is aside or put it, you know, in the background, but it's that thing that keeps eating at them and keeps them up at night and things like that. Can you just give, just because a lot of folks don't realize that they're stressed. They just figure that's life and go about it, and then they wonder why they're always sick and things like that. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, Tony, thank you. The issue, once again, is being fully present with everything that is happening to you and not pushing it away and not being in denial. Denial is more than a river in Egypt. Denial is a very real fact of our existence. We think that if we just worked that extra hour or two, if we just stayed up an extra hour or two at night, you know, that we could get it all done. When in actuality, what's happening is we're exposing our bodies to more and more stress. Stress will cause all of the hormonal systems in the body, including the brain hormones, to deplete. And what I mean by that is that you will find that the harder you try, the harder you work, the more you try to push back what's really happening, the sicker you will get and the more tired you will feel. Because your adrenal gland, which produces cortisone and epinephrine and norepinephrine, will quit.
Yep.
It will shut down. And when that happens, then you have no resistance to disease or to infection or to trauma. So that people don't take care of themselves. A lot of times I make the analogy to the battery. For example, if you want to help somebody, you have to first help yourself. Many years ago, Ayn Rand and Nathaniel Brandon talked about the virtue of selfishness. There's a virtue to being selfish. There's a virtue to taking care of yourself. And why is that? Because if you don't take care of yourself, then you have no energy. And you are as a dead battery. If you have no energy, you have nothing to give. So the first priority is to nourish yourself, to love yourself, to care for yourself, to pay attention to what your body, the wisdom of the body, is telling you. And when you are replenished and you have energy, then you can reach out and give to others. Otherwise, you are as a dead battery. You cannot shine a light. There is no light. There is only darkness and emptiness.
And Dr. Janice, I'm glad Tony asked that question. That was a great question. And I want to add to what you just said, and I want you to also speak to this. One of the things that I try to tell my clients, I'm not a MD, and I'm not a psychiatrist, but I do know quite a bit about natural remedies and behavioral changes, and I know quite a bit about that because I study it, and I, well, Tony knows. You know, I'm totally into that. And one of the things that I truly believe will help a lot, I know people can't stop working, and I know they have to do those things, but balance is so very important. And a lot of times I tell them, well, can you just take a few minutes out to do something fun and energizing that lifts you up? If you're always working and you're always stressed and you're always miserable and you're always worrying about your family and about work and about situations that you can't control, you've got to balance it out with something. So if you have moments in your life or days or half days or hours or whatever in your life where you're laughing or you're having fun, even if you don't feel like it, do it anyway.
Oh, and absolutely. Laughter.
Speak to that for our listeners.
Yes, of course. Once again, it's just find the time to take 20 minutes or 30 minutes, or an hour for yourself, and do something that makes you happy. Do something that makes you happy. You know, Norman Cousins wrote many years ago, when he was actually dying from kidney cancer, that laughter is the best medicine. And he brought in all kinds of old movies, you know, the old Marx Brothers movies and Abbott and Costello movies, and he just would spend an hour or two every day watching funny movies and laughing, and it extended his life, and it improved the quality of his life. Smiling actually releases endorphins. If you smile, and it's so easy to smile. I mean, look around you, and when was the last time that you went out in public and saw people having fun and laughing and smiling? And there's a great new laughing yoga where all they do for an hour is just laugh. And it's fabulous because it releases those natural endorphins into your brain, endogenous opiates, they're called. That's the fancy medical term for those. And they make you feel good. And if you feel good, then your body says, wow, thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Janice. You've done something good for me today. Thank you. It just feels so good to be happy.
And that's something that we have total control over. And I know a lot of my clients say, well, you know, I just don't want to. And, you know, well, I'll do something fun when this changes or when that changes. Well, you know what? You are in control of these changes. You're in control of this time right now. And you don't always have to spend 24/7 consuming your mind with those uncontrollables, those worry situations that you can't change anyway.
Well, simply
take some time out to exercise, or take some time out to laugh, or take some time out to be around people in your network who are positive, who lift you up, who support you. I mean, take a look at people who want to do those things for you. Everybody has somebody in their life who cares about them and wants to see them laugh and have fun.
Well, yes, absolutely. And yet, you know, there are so many analogies to life and the stock market, the financial market. One of them is that in the financial markets, what traders do is almost without exception, that's why 95% of the traders lose, is because they hold on to losing positions. Mm. And the positions that are profitable for them, they'll get rid of them because, oh, wow, I have a profit, so I better sell now. But yet they'll hold on to these losing positions. Now, the same thing happens in life, that we have a tendency to hold on to what I call energy vultures or energy vampires that sap your energy continually. For some reason, we're attracted to these energy vultures. Rather than saying, whoa, wait a minute here, I want to be with a person or people or a group that lifts me up, that inspires me, that moves me to be a stronger, a better, and a happier person. What am I doing hanging out with these energy vultures, with these losing stock positions? And my instruction is cut your losers. Cut your losing positions in life and in the markets, and let your winning positions run, because those will inspire you and those will propel you forward. And that's where we want to go, forward, one step at a time, not backward into the ditch, not into the black hole of misery and worry, but forward into a new beginning, onto a new path, onward and upward. And we are the only people who can control what we do. Nobody else. We have power. We have the control to do that.
And you know, I'm totally into this topic, and some of the things that you're talking about, I really want my listeners to hear from you, because you are a board-certified PhD, MD, and psychiatrist. So can you talk about fear and how the fight-or-flight syndrome keeps your body full of cortisol and full of negative chemicals that you really don't want, how it keeps you in a stress mode, and how that fear creates energy. But if you use the energy in a negative way, it's just going to fuel your anxiety.
Well, absolutely. Yes, because our brains are very little changed, Kathy, from the brain of the Neanderthal. Now, the Neanderthal man was living on the savannah, and the Neanderthal man was designed to fight, to go out, to kill animals, to bring back the animals, to the tribe so the tribe could eat. Well, when the Neanderthal man would go out and it would fight or to try to kill an animal, he might be attacked by a lion or, you know, a large animal that would want to kill him. And he would immediately go into this stage of fear, or what they call the flight or fight reaction. So if you're out on the savannah hunting and a great predator comes and wants to try to kill you, you know, you have two choices. You can fight, which is not necessarily that great of an idea if it's a big wild animal, or you can flee, you can run. And that's what our ancestors did. They either fought or they ran. Well, as we evolved from the Neanderthal man and we grew up and we became societalized, we don't have these wild animals anymore. We don't look outside our door and there's a lion there waiting to attack us. Now we have other kinds of fears.
Exactly.
And predominantly these fears come from our own mind.
Right.
We make them up. So fear,
reaction.
Exactly. Fear, Kathy, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. It's a figment of our imagination. We're afraid of everything. And who was it that said, you know, 90% of the things that I was afraid of never even happened? I think it was Mark Twain. So fear is a figment of our imagination. It's in our brain, and we're drawn to it, this worry and this fear. So now what we have is fear is always chasing us. Fear preys on us. Fear is the predator, and we are the prey. The instruction is to put the fear in front of you so you can see it, whatever it is. So it's no longer behind you. It's now in front of you. So you are now the predator, and you have the choice of what you want to do with that fear. It's up to you. You can say, I'm always going to keep it there in this big black cloud that I'm always looking at, 90% of it, which will never happen, ever. Or I can say, just go away. Just get out of my sight, because I want to replace that black cloud with a beautiful day, with flowers, with sunshine, with happy thoughts. I don't need that fear anymore, and I want to get rid of it. And that, again, Kathy and Tony, is a personal choice.
That's right. That's right. You know, Tony and I have always had this friendly debate about, and Tony, when I say this, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But we've always had this friendly debate about perception is reality. And I say perception is reality. Tony says perception is not reality. It's just your reality. It's what you believe. But if your perception is how you're governing your life, you're governing your life according to your perception, then that's why I say that it's your reality, because if you change your perception and change your perspective, you change your life. As long as your perceptions are what they are, your life is going to be lived according to whatever that is, whether it's real, wrong, indifferent, up or down or sideways. You're going to live your life according to what you perceive and what you believe. It doesn't have to be true.
It is true.
It's not true. Usually it's not true, but that's what you live by.
You are what you think and believe.
Right.
It's just that simple. If you think you're beaten, if you think that you can never get up, if you think that you're weak, if you think that you're angry, if you think that you're fearful and that there is no hope, then that is who you are. You are what you think and believe. You can change your life by changing your thoughts.
Yeah. Was it Henry Ford that said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right?
That's correct.
Was that
That's
Henry Ford?
Absolutely correct. You are what you think, and you are what you believe. Each of us, Kathy and Tony, creates our own reality.
Right.
And we have the power to make that reality anything that we choose.
Mm-hmm.
That's freedom. Taking personal responsibility for every thought, every feeling, every action is true freedom.
And when you say, I mean, I've got a great example, a story. When you say we're in a recession, we're in a depression, we're in one of the worst times in our nation's history, yet my reality is totally different from that. Now, how do you explain that? Because I am creating my reality, my beliefs, my thoughts, which my actions and my behaviors align with, are causing my reality to be totally different from what others are seeing in the economy and in the nation. I mean, how can you build a successful business, be featured in a national magazine, leave a corporate job where you was making deep, strong six figures in the middle of a depression, and be successful? How do you do that? Because I believe I can.
Because you believe you can, and because you're creating your own reality. You're designing your life, and you're focused on that. I mean, even in the midst of the Great Depression in the 30s, this is when Alcoholics Anonymous was founded. This is when many, many people made fortunes by saying, wait a minute, I am not going to be dragged down into this. I am going to carpe diem, seize the day, seize the moment. And where others see pain and misery and suffering, I see an opportunity to make myself better.
Right.
So it's not about what happens to you in life, ever. It's about who you are and what you do with what happens to you.
And it's also about what happens in you.
Yes, of course.
And that's one of the things I talk about in my workshop. We can't control the situations that are on the outside of us, because life is 10% what happens to you and 90% what happens in you. Because regardless of what's going on out in the world, you create your reality. You
every minute.
Your reality every minute of every day by your perceptions, your beliefs, your behaviors, your actions, your thoughts, your movements, your diet, your exercise or lack of it, your ability to laugh and have fun or lack of it. Whatever choices you make, it's moving you closer to a life of fulfillment and health or further away from it. Every choice you make, every thought you have.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And that's what most people, unfortunately, sadly, do not get, because they're waiting for somebody else to bring them flowers instead of going and buying flowers for themselves.
And what I'll take it even a step further than that, Dr. Janice, they already have flowers.
Yeah, and they can't even see them or smell them because they're blinded by their negativity, and they're being pursued by fear, which is not real.
If somebody was to hand them a dozen roses, they wouldn't see the beautiful roses and smell the beautiful scent. They would look at the thorns and say, oh, my goodness, these things are filled with thorns. That's how they go through life.
Unfortunately, it is, and that is why you have so few people that are actually truly successful. You know, I mean, you're a successful woman, and you're becoming more successful. And, you know, you've programmed your mind to be a successful person. You've programmed your brain to be a successful person. And most people cannot do that, unfortunately. And so they'll be stuck. They'll sit in front of the TV. They'll wait for somebody else to do things for them, become increasingly depressed and increasingly dependent. And, you know, the saying is that most people lead lives of quiet desperation. Have you heard that?
I have.
All right. Do you know that there's more to that? The actual quotation, Kathy and Tony, is most people lead lives of quiet desperation and die with their song still inside of them. You, Kathy, are singing your song.
And you know, Dr. Janice, I just want to add to what said about me as an example. People, listeners, dialed in, listening live, archived, whatever the case may be, please hear me when I say, my life is not a bed of roses. My life is what I perceive it to be. I choose to focus on positive, happy thoughts. I could give you a long list of things that I don't like, that are challenges for me, that are obstacles for me. There are so many things I've had to overcome. There are so many things I still have to overcome and I still deal with. However, it does not control me. I make the choice as to what I want to think about, focus on. So please don't think that, oh, okay, well, she has it all together and she doesn't have any problems. Oh, yes, I do. I'm human. All humans have issues. All humans have obstacles. All humans have things they want that they can't have. They all have things they have to deal with. They have no control over, and I'm no different. I'm no different. The only difference in me is that I process it differently than other people. I wanted to make sure I got that out there.
I'm sorry, Tony.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the things that I really like about what you're saying and just what you're sharing with us is that people really need to understand that they're really in control of their thoughts, and that controlling their thoughts controls their lives, and controlling their lives will bring the happiness that they deserve. And folks think it in reverse. They think that the happiness comes after the things happen to them instead of happening for themselves. And proof of that a lot of times, and I hear this a lot because I run into people all the time who talk about where they've not found this person or found that person, and, you know, they get so depressed about not, you know, meeting the right man or meeting the right woman. And I try to share with them, and Kathy and I have had this conversation numerous times, but I try to share with them, well, you know what? If you're acting depressed because you haven't found the right person, regardless of how you hide it, it comes out because you haven't fixed who you are or what you are. Fix and love yourself in a way that when someone sees you and interacts with you, all they can see is this great love of self, because that's one of the most attractive things that you could ever have. I think the most attractive thing that a woman or a man could have for themselves is confidence within their lives and confidence within themselves. And that's a great thing, but it takes work. When you're having a bad day, and I'm glad you used the smile thing, because I call it my smile ministry. I go around talking to young people and even adults a lot of times, just giving them that very simple statement, smile. The chemicals in your brain change the way you feel. Having a bad day, smile. It stops that moment of depression or sadness. Smile, smile, smile. But people just don't get it. They don't understand sometimes when you're in the midst of crying, just smile. And why it's impossible to feel bad when you're in the midst of a smile, because it's biological. So I'm glad you shared that with so many folks today.
Well, that's right. Remember the old song, smile when your heart is breaking. Smile even though it's aching. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile. And smiling is the easiest thing in the world to do. And you're absolutely right. A smile changes everything. It changes everything inside of you, and it changes everything for those around you. And it's such a simple gift. It's a gift that you give to yourself and others. And it's so easy to do. So I love this smile ministry. I think it's just a fabulous idea.
Thank you.
Idea, Tony. That's great that you're doing that. That's great. But yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, if you just start out with a smile, that can actually, you know, kick the process into existence. I mean, you can start with a smile, and then it can escalate into a lot more than that, and, you know, a lot more happy types of behavior. So that's right. I mean, that's something small, very small that you can do.
Well, I think that what we could ask the listeners to do right now is just to smile. I'm smiling, and I feel wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a wonderful feeling. If everybody in the world right now just smiled, it would change so many things. Because have you noticed that smiling is contagious?
Mm-hmm.
If you smile and then somebody looks at you like, oh, she's smiling at me, then they'll smile. And then they'll smile to the next person. So it's so simple. It gives your brain it takes many more muscles in your face to frown than to smile. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. So why do so many people walk around like sad sacks all the time? Now, what's that getting? How's that working for them? What is that doing? We're in a society where it seems like the more miserable things are, the more people want to be there where it's miserable. Instead of saying, get me out of here, I want to go where the smiles are. You know, I want to go where the laughter is. I want to have some fun in my life. You know, life is very short, and each moment is precious. Each moment is really perfect. I mean, this is the perfect moment. I'm here with you and Tony. I'm happy. I'm smiling. I'm so happy to be with you today. I feel so good about that and so privileged. And I'd like everybody who's listening to just smile.
Right, that's right. And Dr. Uh-huh. Janis, I want to thank you so much for coming on. We're coming up on our last few minutes, and I want you to go ahead and give our listeners your website if you have like a blog or articles on your site that they can take a look at. What is the site that they can go to?
Oh, my website is a very simple website. And it's www.thetradingdoctor, it's all spelled out, thetradingdoctor.com. And I do have some articles that I've written that are on the site, and I've written probably 2,000 articles on behavior and the financial markets and the philosophy and the psychiatry of the markets and life, and they're all over the web. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Very happy, and I would really love the opportunity at some point to meet you in person and to share your journey with you as you go forward. I'd really like to stay in touch with both of you as you go on your path.
Absolutely.
Well, again, thank you.
We thank you so much for joining us this evening, and you know, our chat room has loved your topic and your points and your conversation, and you have just really been a wealth of knowledge, and you have helped so many listeners. My shows are available for our on-demand archive download 24/7. If you want to go back and listen to any of the shows, all of my shows are available. So, Dr. Janis, you have really given us a lot of great information to take to heart and change our lives. I mean, it's never too late. No one can go back and start over, but anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. So if you want to make a brand new ending for your life, just start today and just start with a smile.
Start with a smile. Albert Einstein said that there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle.
That's great. That's great. I absolutely love it.
So I wish everyone listening today happiness, joy, peace, many smiles, and a wonderful, perfect moment, which is now. Because this is the perfect moment, and each of you is always in it. And I thank you again for inviting me and having me as your guest. It's been an enormous privilege and pleasure for me to be with you today.
Well, thank you very much, and we're coming up on our last 60 seconds, so we're going to sign off for now. Dr. Janis, thank you again. Thank you, listeners, for coming and joining us this evening. I'm Kathy Holloway-Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you next week for another episode of Living by Design. Good night, everyone.